Minnesota Vikings fans, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast, Purple People Eaters edition. I am your host, Chris Carlson. My co-host, Aaron Miller, will be joining us very shortly. We got a lot to talk about, not from, you know, a recap perspective, because, hey, the Vikes didn't lose, did they? They didn't win, but they didn't lose, and they didn't tie either, because those things are very irritating in NFL football. But anyway, we are back to talk about our beloved Minnesota Vikings. Five games left on the schedule at Seattle coming up. Vegas is pretty nice to us. Maybe that's because their defense isn't maybe up to snub. I guess ours isn't either, though. It's probably going to be a high-scoring game, I guess, now that I think about it. Unlike last year, when it was, what, 6-0 forever, and then they just kind of close it out. But anyway, that was last year. This is this year. Like I said, welcome back to the Living in Loserville podcast. You know, we break down these games. You know, we talk about the positive, the negative, players that stood out, players that were exploited, roads that haven't been closed. They've been detoured. We talk about a variety of stuff, right? Then, of course, we preview the week and of course, we won't be doing a recap, but we'll preview the next week and kind of just give our takes and just kind of talk it through. We do send messages in rant form generally to the fan base at times and to the local media at times as well. That's part of the show too. And we figure, you know, we bury a Gopher segment. We're not going to bury it tonight. That'll be last, but it'll be a little bit longer because we don't have recap. But we figure if you're a Minnesota Vikings fan, there is a percentage of you that care about the Minnesota Gophers football program, especially this year, right? Fleck and all that. But if you don't, that's cool too. That's why we bury it. You don't even have to listen to it, all right? So we're going to get into this in just a moment. But if this is your first time listening to the Living in Loserville podcast, you can find it on blogtalkradio.com/ropeadoperadio. Okay, it's under the Ropeadope Radio banner, which can be found there, right? It's kind of the headquarters, but you can go to Apple Podcasts, leave a little rate and review helps us there. Player FM, Spricker, Stitcher, TuneIn. We're also part of the Grueling Truth Sports Podcast Network. You can find them on iHeartRadio. In fact, with your Siri or Alexa, you can use TuneIn or Spotify to find each show. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.net. That's thegruelingtruth.net. It's football, it's basketball, it's baseball, it's boxing, it's everything in between. They got a great sponsor over there, betnow.eu, with the promo code TGT. That's betnow.eu, TGT as in the Grueling Truth. And one more thing. If you're thinking about cutting the cord, or maybe you have and you're not quite happy, you need some sort of basic cable, I got something for you here. I use it myself. AT&T TV Now. It's streaming cable, okay? They have a 7-day free trial. There's no annual contracts. You can stream it anywhere. It comes in clutch with the cloud DVR. I use the DVR all the time. The plans start, like I said, they have the 7-day free trial, but the plans start as low as $50 a month, HBO included. AT&T TV Now, it's live streaming cable. All right, let's get that out of the way. Now, we got a big game coming up. Last week we talked about where we've been, how we got to 8-3. We had a Cousins positivity segment, and it wasn't on some fanboy stuff. It was on some realistic stuff. That's kind of what we are here. We're fans of it, but we're not just going to sugarcoat it, okay? You may hear, we got to do this and we got to do that from time to time, but that's because we are fans. But we call it like we see it, man. We call it like we see it. We don't want to sit there and sugarcoat it. We also don't want to go over the top and rant and rave and spaz out just for clickbait material, which is what a lot of folks do out there in the podcast world and just in media in general, not just sports as we know. We were just talking a little politics offline, which is something we won't do here. Big game coming up. You know, we got five games left. We talked about last week as well about the Green Bay-San Francisco game. That went pretty well. for us, well, pretty well. It went gorgeous. Green Bay goes down, and they didn't go down swinging. They got hit by a Deontay Wilder shot is what happened there. And that's the second time that they've just straight up laid an egg on the road. Now, Niners are a good club, obviously, but they did that with the Chargers too. And it kind of makes me feel like, well, from a Vikings perspective, how many times have we been 6-0 and lost to Arizona, didn't make the playoffs? I'm not saying that. But we get these great starts, and then we kind of unravel. Hopefully, it's flipped this year, and Green Bay is starting to show some signs of a great start, especially their first like quarter and a half for a while in those games. Prior to midseason, it was tough to beat them just off the start they had. But it's not a Green Bay Packer podcast. It just kind of disgusts me to even say that. But we got a big game coming up. I'm going to go ahead and bring in my co-host, Aaron, and see what's on his mind. And just, you know, there are a couple of topics that we're going to get to beyond just previewing this game. But just kind of catching up with my co-host here. What's going on, Aaron? It's deep in November. It's Thanksgiving. Usually, you know, if we look back at the 98 and all that, when you had the Thanksgiving games. Usually Thanksgiving is the Vikings Super Bowl, right? We get the turkey legs and everything's going great, and then it goes to hell. This year, started out 2-2. We've been on a run. First of all, you know, on a personal level, how the hell are you doing? Bye week. Didn't have to go through any kind of cardiac arrest or anything like that. And how you feeling, not only, you know, at Seattle, but just finishing off this thing, hopefully with some style points. Although, who cares if we win 13-12 the rest of the stretch, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know that it's always too soon to bring up a 1998 reference. It's still a little bit sore, you know. Smack you right in the head with that one. But and the only thing as sweet as a Viking win is a Packer loss, and that's always going to be that way. So it was nice to see them get roughed around a little bit, although I didn't see it coming out of San Francisco. I mentioned last week that I thought that would be the team you wanted to see in the playoffs, but they looked pretty good last night. So, you know, maybe I want to revisit my thoughts on that.
Sure.
It was nice to see them go down, and maybe they will get a little bit of a swoon towards the end of the season here, which would be really nice for us because they've pulled out ahead of us here in the division.
Yeah, and like you said, I mean, record-wise, we're all tied up, but we got to go on the road to Seattle. Okay, so you know, maybe before we get to that, we have some topics out there that in the Twitterverses and in just local media, local fan stuff, in the Facebook groups, whatever, and on radio, right? The local media like that. There's a couple of different items out there, right? Last week was when do we give credit to Cousins? You know, if you just destroyed him for playing with a shitty offensive line and not a good run game, and it was just his fault and that's it, well, you got to give him a little credit at some point. Not just a little, you got to give him credit. But this isn't to sit there and kiss his toes where we know he's due for, I'm just going to knock on wood. I won't even talk about it. It's too late in the season to even jinx it. But we got a couple of questions we're going to ask, well, you at home while you're listening and see if you agree with us. We're going to answer those here on the pod, though. When push comes to shove at the end of this year, it's kind of a two-part question with Cousins. Well, should we, in the offseason, start to go down that role of extension? Do we really want to let a guy that's going to have value on the free agent like that? And it's not just, oh, he's been a solid player since he's been a starter. We know that. The numbers are there. That's why he made this amount of money. That's why he's doing good this year when it's all set around him, yada, yada, yada. But not just a free agent. Okay, Trey Wayne's going to be a free agent. We're not too stressed about that. A quarterback free agent. Nobody lets their – I mean, even the Redskins paid back-to-back franchise tags for Cousins, which was silly. Why didn't you just extend him if you're going to go franchise? Because you're paying him top five money at that time. But, hey, that's the Redskins. They suck. So should we not allow him to be free agent and get him now? Make it a cap-friendly deal on both sides and just square it away because you know, hey, you know, it's what else is out there? Who's in the draft and how are we going to get up for sure in the draft? It's tough. The teams that are up top, it's tough for them to give away those picks if they want a quarterback, right? So we'd have to get someone that doesn't want a quarterback, that has a high pick, yada, yada, yada. And the second part is, what does he have to do to kind of, you know, really, really prove to you down the stretch that we should basically keep him for the rest of his career? Obviously, I don't know the rest of his career, but you know what I mean by that. He'd be here for another, whatever, 5 years or whatever the hell it is. Then the other topic that's out there in the local sports world is Cook, Dalvin Cook. Now, we know running backs are a dime a dozen. We heard with Ezekiel Elliott, they're saying, oh, dude, he's just a running back. Just screw him, you know. There's a difference between running backs and a two-back system and a guy like Dalvin Cook. I think that kind of tells us where we're going. But should we look to start extending his deal? We'll talk about that and just a variety of other stuff as well. Like I said, we will have a Gopher segment. Before we get to the Seattle game, which big, big game in the NFC, just big game in general, another hard road game for us this year. Hey, man, if we're going to end up with a pretty good record. I mean, we've had a tough schedule. It's not like, you know, a lot of people look at that 13-33 year and kind of discount it, you know, because the schedule wasn't that great. But definitely can't discount this one no matter how we end up. But just off the rip, right? Cousins, should we let him hit the free agent market or in the off season? You know, should we start to look to extend him and keep him here, lock him down? You know, he's been playing great this year. He showed signs at times. He put up good numbers, but wasn't the complete package that we need, or not complete package, but he didn't play up to, you know, standard per se, no doubt about it last year. But that was the second half of the season, too. And we know that, you know, he started hearing footsteps, yada, 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 you know, whatever. And it's a two-part, you know, it's two-part because what does he have to do? And I kind of, a lot of people are saying this, oh, some people say, well, if he beats Seattle, sign him. Well, hold on, dude, let's just calm down. We're not going to sign him now. We're going to wait to the offseason anyway. But the two-part thing in these last five games in, you know, the playoffs, that has to count into this as well. This is just regular season stuff, too. How would you go about answering that? What's he got to do to prove to you, or has he already proved, like, hey, man, we're not going to get a better quarterback this in the free agency, or we'll have to start out fresh with a new rookie quarterback if we can even get up to the top five to get one? What are your thoughts on this Cousins stuff? Because before you know it, we are going to have to take a gander, you know?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question. I want to say that this fan base on this is probably 50-50, and I don't know if that's fair. You have to kind of put it in perspective and take a look back at the years of quarterback drought that we've had, as well as when you try to evaluate Cousins. You need to look at that too, not just to the extension question. I may really feel like there's not much of a question as far as I'm concerned. I feel like, yeah, if you have an opportunity to do it, and he doesn't gouge you, which is questionable because Kirk likes to collect his pennies and drive his van. I don't think he would necessarily do a hometown deal type of deal. Or he might, but I don't think that's something you can count on. So I really feel like if he doesn't gouge you, which he kind of did picking him up in the free agent market, I think if you can keep him, get a friendly deal, you have no choice but to do it. Now, these last five games, yeah, I mean, if he plays miserably, you know, that will change the answer a little bit, but at the same time, it doesn't change it all that much because the performance at the quarterback position under the 2 years of Cousins has far exceeded the 10 years, not including Favre before that. I really think you don't have a choice. If you get the chance to extend him, you go ahead and extend him, and you deal with what seems to be a progressing Cousins at the moment. I'm fairly confident that trajectory will continue, but we'll see these last five games in a tough road game at Seattle. So I say, yeah, you sign him up and, you know, maybe draft a kid that you like to go under him. I know they got Jake Browning. I think they like him a lot. I know I do. I think that was a steal in the undrafted free agent market. So they liked him enough to let Slaughter go, which was interesting. So I think they like him enough to kind of keep him ready. I don't know if it's someone you could turn to in losing Cousins a year from now, but I think that they like him enough to where maybe drafting a quarterback isn't really the option they'd be looking for. And that always gets dicey there, as we found out from Christian Ponder and so on, that you can't really, you don't know what you got until you suit up in the NFL and play in regular season games.
Yeah, and he's going to play, you know, good enough regardless that he's going to win some games. So we won't have that. We won't have those high picks to even get him. And yeah, we haven't heard too much people screaming for good old Sergeant Slaughter, have we? I haven't really heard too much of that lately, but damn, those first couple games, like, I can't believe he's that going Slaughter. Oh my God, he's the next MVP. But anyway, I'm with you. I mean, you detailed it wonderfully. I think you got to do it. I mean, unless it is just the worst five-game stretch of his career to kind of make you go, well, what's going on, dude? You got some stuff around you. Speaking of the stuff around you, Aaron, that's what I like about it. When you look at the skill positions on the outside, when you look at Cook, when you look at Rudolph, he's still around. We know we got Irv Smith Jr. coming. This thing is set up. You know, we'll talk about, you know, off-season. We were just talking about that off – I almost said off-camera, but, you know, off the podcast. Seriously, off air though, we were talking about the left side. If we could just even shore up one of the left side, the screen game, like he's set up, like the offense we have, this is perfect for him. It's a great fit. And, you know, when you start to add it up, because he wasn't a first round pick. So, and he was willing to extend, but they couldn't meet eye to eye, but it was so silly to pay him back-to-back franchise deals then. It just, why did you just do a three-year deal like we did? And it was just really weird. But, hey, too bad for them. Snyder, you know, he's great in business outside of the NFL, but he struggled as an owner as far as just, well, spend happy, but then don't spend when you need it. I don't know. But anyway, I think he
and,
got
it. Sure, I think you're right. And Cousins, for all his warts, has started every game that, you know, he's been available to start. He hasn't been injured. Now you could say he's ducking things and he's, you know, not avoiding pressure, but he's been tough enough to stay in there. That'll be two seasons, knock on wood, of not missing a game. Not to mention the coordinator shuffle seems to be done. So you'll have a, you know, for the first time in probably the last 6 or 7 years, they'll have the same coordinator, going into next season. And that can't do anything but help. And so I think, you know, these guys are probably so good at learning new offenses, it's unbelievable. But having that same thing, the continuity, hopefully the coaching staff and the GM are still around. I think just the continuity, another year with Cousins, I think, you know, it's really a no-brainer. But at the same time, I mean, that could switch after, you know, three bad performances, depending on how bad they are or what transpires. I think that you kind of have to sign him, just lack of anything else out there, unless you find a boon. But then even if you get a boon, like let's say you somehow end up with a great pick or a quarterback falls in the draft that you'd like, I mean, you still wouldn't want to put them in year one with this squad that you have assembled. I think that you go with Cousins and take your lumps.
Yeah, I mean, we can always fix things, but you might as well. We haven't had a quality quarterback, period, dude. So far and few between. And, you know, I mean, we don't want to go back. I mean, I'll give credit to Denny for offense, you know, but we kept changing quarterbacks. But he did produce with those quarterbacks. So he was a great offensive mind, of course. But, you know, come on. I mean, like you said, it is a no-brainer. Speaking of which, I believe we got another no-brainer. Back to that Cousins as far as bleeding us. Well, the quarterback's going to bleed us. I guess we could, you know, say that, of course, because the position bleeds you. But, you know, and I remember I got lost on this one because he wasn't picked in the first round, so he didn't get big money. So it was kind of like, well, you got to pay me, you know. And so he got those two huge checks back-to-back, and then now a three-year stretch here. So he's made a big old chunk of change the last 5 years, as long as he gets to next year, you know what I'm saying? So hopefully we can arrange this, and maybe he'll be like, you know what, I don't want to go to another crappy team. We got a chance to win here, and like you said, won't gouge our eyes out. Well, you know, at least don't gouge the right eye of our Coach Zimmer there, because he needs at least one, guys. Another no-brainer to me, unless he does want to just gouge or something like that, which I don't think he can, Dalvin Cook. You know, we heard this with Ezekiel Elliott. We've heard it with some other people. Gurley, you're looking at Gurley in his knee. That would be a little bit issue. Obviously, the contract would involve some sort of, hey, we can cut you, because he does have injury issues. Those same injury issues, if he can stay relatively, you know, injury, not free, but relatively stay on the field for, say, 14 games a year, that'll help, you know, that'll help, that'll go a long way. But should we sign him? Is he a guy that is that special back? And in this system, and just in general with him, he is a guy that you do sign. I don't care about the dime a dozen running backs and a 2-3 different running backs people have. The Patriots, sometimes they feature one, sometimes they got eight of them. It'll be an undrafted dude, you know. But this dude is the real deal. He can, I mean, the yards after the catch, we won't even get into it. If you keep him and Cousins with this screen game, this play action stuff, I don't know why you wouldn't. And another thing, people are going to look at, you know, Ezekiel and be like, oh, dude, we can't pay him that. He's not going to get that money, because he only has this season of track record of blowing up. The other two were injuries, so he can't ask for too crazy. So the only, unless he's sitting there holding out for the biggest running back, you know, contract in the league right now, bring him back or extend him, because you do not want to let this guy go. I don't think he's just your average run of the mill. Yeah, we'll find somebody in the third rounds, I think.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. You know, the real question is, as far as backs go, you know, is he a special back? And you go Kamara, you know, you go Zeke Elliott and Dalvin Cook, maybe McCaffrey you want to throw into that mix of guys that you would really want to pay big money for, or, you know, irreplaceable running backs. There are a lot, you know, when we were growing up, running backs were quarterbacks and running backs offensively. That was the hierarchy as it went. But now it's sort of quarterback, left tackle. You know, and down that road with all the throwing and the way the offenses are going. So I really feel like, you know, to have a back that's as good in the screen game, like you mentioned, as good outside runner, no one gets the edge like him. So, you know, is he a special back is the question. I think he is. I think you pay him. Now, you're right, he probably doesn't have the numbers due to the injuries to really gouge you this time around. But him healthy, and making sure that you want to keep him happy and not a malcontent and so on, which I don't think that's in his character, but you never know when it comes down to money. I really feel like that's another no-brainer, but I think it's less of a no-brainer than Cousins. But I think that's just, you know, one of the links in the chain here with Thielen and Diggs, Cook, Cousins, Rudolph, Smith coming up. The left tackle seems to be the place where we're going to need to improve, and another guard would be another nice thing to have. And then you pretty much solidify this offense with the, like I mentioned about the coordinator continuity, you know, it's really, if not now, sort of when type of deal, going into next season and finishing off this season, with the Vikings.
Yeah. It's a healthy window right there. And a lot of people in their prime. And that's what you want. That's what you want. I mean, these guys can play for a while, especially nowadays, however they're getting there. You know, it is what it is. They're playing longer. And, you know, they're taking care of their bodies more and yada, yada, yada. But, yeah, unless he wants to break the bank, I think you got it. I think you got it. This dude is special one. Yeah, I'm right there with you on the
Well, let's flip to the other side quickly, because I know we didn't really have this programmed, but We talked a little bit off air about defensively the cornerbacks, and I want to kind of run over that quickly because defensively is going to be an interesting thing next year. Rhodes is signed in but not playing well. Waynes is really iffy. You and I kind of decided that he might probably not be back. We don't know anything more than anybody else, but we just feel like that's an expendable place with the depth that we have at corner, or at least that we believe we have at corner. Obviously, the draft, you can probably find a couple more and probably will. So defensively, everybody's locked up, but that secondary is a little bit iffy. So, you know, where do you stand on Rhodes about, or not, I'm sorry, on Waynes coming back or letting him go?
Yeah, I think Waynes is gone. For a seventh pick, he hasn't lived up to it. He's had little chunks of success where you go, okay, he's looking pretty good. But to me, I just think he's – I wouldn't call him a cap casualty. Maybe like half of that, because when we say cap casualty, it's like, man, we can't – that sucks, we lose him. I'm not sure how sucky – to sound like a five-year-old, that is. I really don't think that's that bad. Now, if we lose him this season without being able to have it, yeah, then it can be a little bad because of depth and all that, and the guy knows the system. He doesn't have to learn much, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, I think he's gone. And then with Rhodes, as long as the Rhodes stay detoured and not closed, he's going to have to take a major pay cut, and we'll cross that bridge, you know, when it comes, a reconstruction. Maybe we could do what we did with Rudolph, who had been underperforming as well. Maybe we can do that where it's like, all right, we'll give you a little bit more guarantee, but the cap number needs to come way down. And then we're going to add some roster bonuses that in 2 years or next, you know, every year there'll be a roster bonus. And it'll go off if we want to keep you on the squad type thing. We'll see. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. You're going to get one in the draft. I mean, you didn't get one last year, so, you know, you're going to get one, I think. And Holton Hill will come up if he can behave himself. I like him a little bit. I also like to think about Kearse maybe as a very big corner. I don't know if the speed is there, but for, you know, straight line, long speed for deep balls. But he'll either come in and play more at the safety spot or kind of be a utility corner or a corner flat out. So I don't know exactly what you're going to need come end of the season or the beginning of next season. But if you lose Waynes, you've got some depth with Hughes and Hill. And I think they like Hughes in the slot, but I don't know anything more. But I think that's where they like him at. So then you got to talk about Mackenzie Alexander's. I don't know where his contract is, but is he going to get outplayed by Hughes in the slot? Possibility. Hughes coming off the ACL last year. That next season will be his back at it season. So I think depth-wise we're good. I think if we lose Waynes, we'll pick up another and be fine. We just have to deal with get Rhodes' play up to where it was before it started to slide a bit.
Yeah, and just example on the local, different sport, but local level, when we brought in Jimmy Butler, we extended Wiggins, right? Well, if you were going to extend Wiggins and put him out on that three-point line, just let him hang out, not let him get the ball much, then why'd you extend him? Same here with Rhodes. Are we going to play zone? Because if we play zone, then yeah, I'm not really, he's a man-to-man, get you up on you. He needs to get up on the guy, right? He's a physical dude. If we're not going to play that because we don't have confidence in our whole secondary, or not our whole, but the corners, whatever, including him, because, you know, he stands out the most, then you start to go, well, is this the league for him right now as a number one corner? And it's starting to look like no. And you know, he's great. He's had a great career. He is a great player when he's right up on that line. He roughs you up, and he's a physical dude. He's always in your face, and he's really irritating, like a corner should be. But, yeah, if you're going to play him off, you know, I don't know about that one. But we'll see. Well, we will see. Speaking of secondary needs, or what are we going to do with them? Well, what are we going to do with this guy who kind of plays like Steve Rice? Actually, Fran Tarkenton comes to mind. because of the scramble ability. Is Wilson going to run like Jackson or Vic or whatever? He can run, but it's the timely stuff. It's really about what he does outside of the pocket, scrambling. That deep ball he threw last week was ridiculous. I mean, he throws a bunch of ridiculous passes, but previewing this Seattle game, man, I'll tell you what, you think they're going to attack us deep? I mean, God, the last like month, all the whole season, but especially the last month, we documented that quite well. However, Vegas is loving us. They're a 3-point favorite at home, which tells you it's 50-50. We got an over under 49 points. Monday night football, by the way. Night game, another time for Cousins to see what he can do, but us as a team too. What are your thoughts here? Now, Seattle is known for a couple of things, but right now it's Wilson. You know, they don't have the same running back that they had before that'll just bully you down the field and tell you all about it. They can run the ball, though. They can still run the ball. But, man, this wide receivers they got now and the way Wilson is playing this MVP level, man, it's going to be a handful. The saving grace is, Aaron, they do give up 24 points a game. That's saying something. You know, that is not the Seattle shutdown Pete Carroll type. Well, speaking of secondary, they're always known for their quality secondary. But what do you think here, man? Is it going to be business as usual where it will be a low scoring game that's right there and we'll give it up in the fourth quarter? Or can we exploit enough of their secondary to put up some points, which it seems like we should be able to do, and get this victory on the road, which would be just amazing at this time of the year, and especially when you look at the NFC race.
Yeah, the real question here is, can we recover from the bloodbath that will be in Seattle on Monday night? Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, 1 and 1A of the most frustrating quarterbacks to face for this defense. It's been a calamity of errors watching them play the Seattle Seahawks. They played them tough last year. That was probably the best I've seen them play, but Russell Wilson just destroys this defense. He runs for first downs, which kills us. He throws long balls that kill us. He throws short that kills us. He's got big receivers this year and Lockett in the slot. There's not many people that can handle Lockett in the slot. There's Metcalf outside for Rhodes. That's not good for Rhodes. You've got Josh, what's his name, from Patriots out there now. He hasn't played a lot, but I'm sure they'll get him in there. Another big kid that they drafted is a wide receiver out there. I just don't see good things happening for the Vikings down there. Plus, they've just never really played well in Seattle. I remember running back just eating us up, and it wasn't Marshawn
Alexander.
Lynch. It was so Alexander eating us up down there a few years ago. They just hasn't had it in Seattle to play. Now, I'm not saying it's going to be, you know, 42-3 or anything like that. I just think that defensively, we're going to have a very, very difficult time with these guys as we usually do. And yeah, their defense might be down, but, you know, if your defense can't stop anybody and your offense is getting stymied, I mean, it's going to get frustrating come about midway through the third quarter. So I don't want to be a pessimist, although I guess I'll go with this. It's said that it's better to be optimistic and wrong than pessimistic and right.
Hey.
So that being said, I will say that I will go with the Seahawks 28-10. I think the Seahawks will start off fast, and we'll just not be able to claw back into it. By the time we adjust, the game will be basically over.
Can you hear me? Am I muted? Am I muted right now?
Okay. Here.
All right. My gauge went away. My gauge. Yeah, I'm going to start calling it a gauge. Actually, that's kind of what I use it as. It's kind of sounding like a broken record here as far as previewing some of these teams that we're playing, especially on the road. But a lot of tight games. A A lot of tight games. It's pretty crazy. They played Cincinnati opening week, 121-20. Pittsburgh won 28-26. They lost to New Orleans 33-27. Then they spanked Arizona, but then the next week 30-29, 32-28. They lost to Baltimore, who could run the ball, by the way, except, you know, a different type of running style than us. I don't think our quarterback's going to do that. 30-16, they got beat up. 27-20 with Atlanta, who's down this year, though. Then back-to-back overtime games that they won, 40-34, 27-24, and then 17-9. So these guys, they've been grinding. They're used to the tight game is, I guess, what I'm getting at. And 1, 2, 3, 4, so 6 out of the last 7 games, these they've won. And most of them tight, like I mentioned. They are, I mean, man. This one's tough, man, just because of our road, like, woes. You know what I mean? Now, this year, we're much improved on the road, I should say that. We haven't get dominated just yet. Are we due for a domination? That whole four-game stretch, every fourth game, Cousins is up for a shit game. That Michigan State guy told me last year. Is that in the books? Or it's just a breakout game and a game we shouldn't, you know. A lot of experts are starting to shine on us. I don't know how good a news that is, but I do like Vegas liking us because they're not biased. You know what I mean? They're trying to set the stuff where they can make some money. So, oh, man, you know, if we weren't so hot, Aaron, I'd say, hey, they're due. They're due for a loss. They're due for a bad performance. Well, shit, we're pretty freaking hot, too. These are some of the hottest teams coming in. Tap dancing over here, ducking a pick is what's going on with me. I think that it's going to be closer than you, but unfortunately I do. There's a pathway to victory, but it's quite treacherous. And I just don't know, like you said, the secondary, it just scares me, man. It really does. And it's those plays that break down, dude. Oh, my goodness gracious. And like you mentioned, him running for a first down and whatnot, if you look at all of Zimmer's time here, he's had some disgusting defenses, and I mean that in the best way, but we've always been susceptible to that freaking guy that could just be like, oh, I'm going to dip over here. Oh, shit, we had everything covered except for that. So I'm going to go 24-20, the Seattle Seahawks getting it done, and we really got to just focus in on those last four games. That's what I'm. So we're both calling for a loss. Let's hope we're both wrong. But yeah, the writing seems to be a little bit on the wall. But man, you know, if our defense was playing like our defense in the era of Zimmer, I'd say we win this game because of what our offense has been doing. But man, go ahead. What were you gonna say?
I was saying, you know, it's always good to be surprised and leave that open. I mean, it'd be great to see them go down there and win. But I guess on a lighter note, we're coming off a bye. Everybody should be healthy, should be fresh, ready to play. It's either you come off vacation and you know you got the holiday season coming, or you come off vacation and you just kind of slick through the summertime. And it just kind of sees, you know, if you maybe had a Bengals game to warm up out of the bye, it'd be a little bit different.
A little non-conference game.
Yeah, just something, you know, but you're coming back and facing a really, really tough challenge, which I think in the beginning of the season we both kind of had the idea that this would be a loss. So go ahead, Vikings, and prove us wrong. We'd enjoy that.
Yeah, I'll take that right on the chin. However, I do have some good news. I don't know if it's good news or not, but I'm going to go with it. I'm looking at the injury report. It's early, but usually the guys that have been hurt are on there, right? I mean, that's pretty basic. Not a one. Not one. No injured player. This is the first time I've looked at an injury report on ESPN.com anywhere. You know, when the game summaries and you go, yeah, we have no injured players. Now, whether that holds or not, you know, this isn't the final list as we know. But you'd assume some of these guys who've won missed games or been banged up would be on here. Let me refresh. This can't be happening. I'm going to refresh. I'm looking at no injured players. Like I said, this is not a final report, but it's a damn good news. Does that make you think anything?
Oh, I just keep this loop in my head, and I just want to say this out loud. Everson Griffin, if you touch him, tackle him. Because I've seen you whiff on this guy like 20 times. It's ridiculous. If you touch him, tackle him. That's all you got to do, man. Just come around the edge and get him down to the ground. If you can do that, it changes the whole outlook of the game.
And hit him legally. You know, hit him legally. If he does get rid of the ball, hit his ass. Punch him in. Oh, don't punch him. I was going to say punch him in the hip, but this isn't boxing. So that's what you do with guys on the outside that like to move. Oh, you like to move? How about a hip flexor? All right. Well, that about wraps up the Vikings segment. If you've been listening to the show, we do a Gophers football segment. It's generally to the point. It's going to be a little bit more extended because we didn't have the game recap. We're sitting at 41 minutes, so we got a little bit more time than not. But for those, you know, saying, I don't get it. I'm just NFL. Cool. Peace. Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. We appreciate it, I should say. But we're going to talk a little Gopher football here. And, you know, just like What's-His-Toes used to say, the granddaddy of them all. No, we're not talking about Rose Bowl, but if you win this game, we're going to the Rose Bowl. And then, no, we didn't get in the Rose Bowl. We got the Orange Bowl. Well, growing up, the Orange Bowl and the Rose Bowl were the top two ones for me anyway. So, right now, though, it opened, it kind of matters. I saw as high as 4, and I mean favorite Wisconsin Badgers 4. Then I saw some 3s and 3.5s. Right now, I see it at 2.5. So it's the Wisconsin being the, you know, home team. So it's not exactly 50, being the road team, but favorite. So you add, you know, about 5 points to that, or 3 points, you're looking at 5.5, 5 point favorite on the road. Now, it's a rivalry game. The axe is at stake, as we know. And just to get into the conference final is just big. You know what I mean? And when you – I think it was 2014, we were in the same position. Score was 17-3. We fumbled the ball. It was 17-10 at half, and we couldn't stop the run. They shredded us. This is a – you know – with the game just right there knocking on the door of the conference final. Flash forward 5 years, which is crazy. That's been 5 years. Here we are. Was that 2015? Maybe it was. But either way, here we are again. And to beat, I think we'd have to go back to the 80s to go to a time where we beat Wisconsin twice in a row. It's just because they sucked too. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, yeah, man, we really dominated. No, we just sucked, too. We both sucked in the 80s. So it was right around the early 90s, that 93-94. When they went to the Rose Bowl, we got a buddy, Crandall. I call him Crandella, as in Nelson Crandella. That was my nickname for him back in high school. But he went to Madison for a year. And I remember sitting in his living room when he's back on break watching – the Badgers win that Rose Bowl, and it was like, whoa, dude, and the school took off, you know, applications soared, and pretty much since then, they've been a solid-ass program. The run defense, and I'm going to let you talk here. I'm sorry. I'm just long-winded, excited. I've been waiting for this since I was a kid, I guess. And the run defense has been leaky lately, especially at Iowa early. I guess you could say late, you know, we didn't talk about Northwestern either. I forgot about that. I'll let you talk about that.
Yeah, I'll cover that.
Yeah, I'm jumping that. But I did like how they jumped out on 21-0. You know what I mean? It was 21 Jump Street right out. I loved what I saw there. This just in, Bateman is, you know, pretty good, especially in the end zone. Twinkle Toes, we're going to have to call him. The run defense, we got this guy here, Taylor. This guy's put up, I think, 3 or 4 200-yard games this year. We've gotten some stats on him for the College Ball Show. He passed Herschel Walker last week with two games left, having the most rushing yards through your junior year. It's 12 or 13 200-yard games. Only four people have done that. It's ridiculous is what I'm saying. If we can get him to about a buck 25 on about 19 carries, meaning he didn't bleed us for 32 and two or buck 80 or whatever, he's going to get his. We know that. But we need to somewhat contain the run. So 150 yards and down, as weird as that sounds, we're talking college football. That's what we need to do. And we talked about this defensive line. If they're ever going to have a great game, this is the one. Obviously, we're going to stack the box. It's going to be look for some, play action downfield. They're going to test us because we're going to be one-on-one in the secondary. How you feeling about this? And, thanks for covering that Northwestern. I totally spaced that.
Yeah, man. Here's the deal. We knew probably 3 to 4 weeks ago that all roads led here. And sure shit, it's here. So we got Wisconsin at home. Last game of the season. I think you're going to see some wrinkles. I think you're going to see people you haven't seen before on this year's freshman that he's been holding back. You're going to see personnel changes. You're going to see a lot of different wrinkles. I think everything has led here for Fleck and company as well. I think you're going to see all the playbook empty out, both offensively and defensively. You're going to see new players. It's going to be an interesting game and a precursor for next year, just like the bowl game will be. This just in, going to the Northwestern game. Bateman is good, very good. It's a porous defense at Northwestern, but three touchdowns is three touchdowns, no matter how you slice it. And they were great catches, all of them. And I was a little apprehensive going into the Northwestern game. It is a lot on the line for that game. They came out, jumped on Northwestern quickly, and stayed in the lead, which is important for this football team. And I think that if you do that and contain that, Northwestern, they fought back a little bit, changed quarterbacks, had to adjust to that. In Northwestern, they're in their down cycle now. They'll be building back up the next year and the next year to will there be a contender in the next 2 or 3 years. As always, that's kind of how that program runs. But it was a good game to watch. The Gophers were very businesslike, came out and took care of it. Not a very exciting game, except for the scores. Tanner's looking great. It was good to see that he came back and played. You're right about the run defense, which is a little bit porous. At this point in the season, you wish that would be a little bit more locked down. I don't know if it's what Northwestern does or if it's just something with the way we're playing defense. I really think that they did what they had to do in Evansville, and now we're here, man. And we've never been here before in our lives. Take it all in. I got really excited, but now it's just really business. You've got one game for everything, basically. And if you can win this game decidedly, I'm not so sure that you can't run with Ohio State. Now, I know that's a lot to say, but if you can go out and prove that you can put a whooping on Wisconsin, knock on wood.
You are just cutting the edge here, dude. Oh, my God. What are you doing? Knock on wood.
Okay, let me explain my position a little bit. Let me explain my position here a little bit.
I'm going to build a house and knock on it the next couple days. I'm getting scared, Aaron.
Chris, we played Ohio State last year with Anixed at their place.
I know.
And hung in there.
You're right. I don't want to talk about Ohio State right now, sir.
I know. I'm just saying. You're laughing at. I had a discussion with someone at work today, and I'm not saying.
Laughing. I'm crying. Okay. I'm not laughing.
I'm not saying we can beat Ohio State with for all the marbles. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, get your head right. Form a good game plan. I liked how we played them last year at their place. It's not out of the realm of possibility. Now, back to Wisconsin.
Thank you. I got
that
it.
Is I the first the first building block. So, how do you beat Wisconsin? Do you stop the run and make Cohen beat you? Because he can beat you. Do you shut down the pass and make Taylor beat you? Because he can beat you. So you got to pick your poison. And I think you're going to get a little bit of poison in each of those areas. So I think what you have to do is keep everything in front of you, and you've got to score points. You have to score points. It's supposed to be snow on the ground, hopefully no wind. Wind will be the issue. Snow, maybe not so much. But you got to be able to throw the ball in this game. It's going to have to be, we can run the ball, but they can really run the ball. If it comes down to two running attacks against each other, that's not a good recipe for us. So I really feel like you got to be able to throw the ball effectively and timely, and you got to keep everything in front of you. Get, you know, chunk plays to Taylor is going to happen, but you can't have a 90-yard run. You can't have a 70-yard run. You got to game tackle, stay in front of the chains. I mean, that's really it, and score points. If you can do that, don't turn the ball over, obviously, and cause turnovers. All the cliche things is what you have to do to win. And to beat Wisconsin twice in a row, one at their place, one at our place, with this much on the line, that is just sweetness.
Like Walter Payton.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're I don't know if you guys know it across the country. Well, Canada probably knows it. But we're weather experts here. Just ask Denny Green. So it's a high of 36, right? Here's the problem. If you're right on that, you know, under frozen, it might be sleet, for Christ's sakes. It might be sleet. And we don't want sleet because we want to pass the ball. Now, we have had sleet slash rain a couple times. So we're at least, you know, getting there. Wednesday it may snow. I hope it does. Practice outside. The run pass, you know, if this thing is a points thing, which some people are saying it's going to be, it's over under 48. I wouldn't doubt if it goes over. Their defense is not as disgustingly great as it's been. I definitely would stack the box and just take our chances with our secondary. And we do got a guy named Winnie who's all over the place. Oh, he's there? No, he's there, actually. He's actually coming to you because he's got the ball in his hand. So I definitely want the quarterback to beat us if he's going to beat us. You know what I mean? Yeah, man, this is something. But like you said, wind, we don't want it because we want to be able to pass, man. We want to be able to pass. And we can pass in the snow. It's not the problem. It's just snow and wind. Now, sleet, that's slippery, right? We know that's slippery. We had a problem with that earlier this year. But anyway, I digress. So little background on this. So we were talking about what's the longest rivalry. And remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about that. And I got it wrong with the Michigan. Now, the Michigan's the longest trophy game. That's the difference. I read it wrong. Michigan's the biggest or the longest trophy game because it took a little while for this to become a trophy game. However, as far as you know, college football goes, the NCAA Division I, the Gophers and the Badgers have the most played rivalry, meaning they play every single time, 128, whereas Michigan we've pieced apart now since we've expansion. But it was 1948 when it went from a slab of bacon to that, which is pretty crazy. But it took a while to get that. That's the only reason why. But we first played in 1890, right? And basically there's only one year, 1906, because, you know, we were so good in 04 and 05, as we find out with these stats. They didn't want a piece of us in 1906. That's what it was.
They're ducking us.
We're not going to talk about world conflict going on or anything like that. That probably has nothing to do with it. This has everything to do with it here. Totally ducked us. Now we're back on. Finally, the series got back on. But the series is tied 60-60 in eight ties, okay, through 2018. Wisconsin 2 years ago, 31-0. But then last year, we snapped that 14-game winning streak by Wisconsin in general, dude. The Paul Bunyan, I mean, it says it right there. He settled in Minnesota, if we're being honest. I don't even know if that's true. We're going to go with it, though. That's what we're going to do.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we've heard. I mean, the lakes are his footsteps, aren't they? That's what all these lakes are.
Yeah.
Even the Ox. what is it, Babe?
Yeah, that's
the
big.
Ox.
Babe. Oh, yeah.
So it, between his big footsteps and Babe's four, you know, fairly big footsteps, that's where all the lakes came from here in Minnesota. But as far before we get these predictions, some of these stats, I got to go over them, dude. I mean, before today, only 12 wide receivers – today means Saturday, last Saturday. Only 12 wide receivers in the nation were over 1,000 yards. The Gophers had two of them. I mean, obviously we know the quarterback setting records here, but this is the first time we've ever had two on the same squad in the same year, and there's only been five receivers to go over 1,000 in Minnesota football, Gopher football history, dude. I mean, some of these stats are just crazy.
Yeah, and it's and you can go on and on with those stats. I mean, when we were kicking ass in 04 and 05, those were good times. It's just it's ridiculous to think that's 110 years ago. And we've been playing these guys for 126 years. That is ridiculous to think about. And if, you know, coming out of two world wars, on and on and on. But, yeah, I mean, Bateman, is it's just a thing that why couldn't we ever – you know, recruit a quarterback in a 30-year stretch or two wide receivers for that matter.
Don't you dare talk about Ricky Foggy like that. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, you're right. And Tony Dungy played here too. Yeah, so, I mean, why – it just boggles the mind when you think about it. And I'm not going to spend too much time thinking about it because my mind is this, you know, this Gopher football thing has boggled the mind for years and finally clearing up and making sense, hopefully. So – you know, I'm going to go back and piggyback off your thing about, you know, I'd almost rather sell out the pass and then make Taylor beat you. And I think, you know, you're going to find out, and I think I just thought just went into my head here quickly, is the weather's going to dictate who we're going to stop, I think. If it's sleet and you can't pass, obviously we're going to sell out to stop the run. And if it's snow, it's always harder to stop running backs, I think, than it is in bad weather, and it's just it's so
and
many
the wide
ifs here.
Receiver, remember the old, they know where they're going, you don't.
It's amazing, man. It's 60 and 60 with eight ties for this ball game. I mean, this is just adding up to a very, I wouldn't want to say important because, I mean, it's sports, but, I mean, it's a very, what's the adjective to use here?
It's important.
Football game. It's important. I don't want to say important,
no,
but I mean, look what led here. We're 60 and 60 with eight ties. They finally, you know, caught up to us in that record. And now right when they get to the point where they're going to overtake us, boom, we're good. It's a ball game. It's amazing, man. And, you know, game day is going to be here. I don't know. It doesn't do a lot for me, but it does a lot for other people. I think other people are starting to see the significance of this game. And I think Fleck had it right last year. It's not a rivalry if you don't win. You know, if you lose for 16 years in a row, that's not a rivalry. It's a rivalry now. And it's going to be interesting to just see the atmosphere at the ballpark. It's going to be interesting to see the way Wisconsin responds to it. I know they got turned back tickets, which is pretty cool. Finally, they're not going to, you know, overrun our stadium. I think even more than a Viking-Packer game, this is going to be splitting families up here in this great state.
Yeah, and just to go with it, I mean, this is Vikings' first podcast. Vikings and Gophers, this is from Daniel House, does a great job locally. We haven't witnessed the success. The only seasons that are remotely close, 1968, 73, and 77, the Vikings finished with 10 or more wins. It will be reached for the first time. They both reached the end with that mark. And going back to the damn wide receivers, I mean, we're going to be set for wide receivers with Fleck. I mean, that's, you know, that's a gimme. But it was so beautiful to see Johnson leading last year, the Big Ten. You know, that was cool. It's like, hey, man, wow. And obviously for Minneapolis North, that makes it even cooler. I mean, he's already won a game this year, and the guy that's going to replace him, Bell, won a game too. So he's next man up. But to have the only 1,000-yard receivers after 11 games reside in the Minnesota Gophers roster. Johnson, 1,025. Bateman, 1,023. Man, I just never thought I'd see the day where it comes down to that, man. I'm really glad Tyler stayed around, and it just really gives us another year to develop these youngsters that are going to be next up, like I said.
All right, man. The time has come.
No more pussyfooting around.
I want to hear your pick, man. I can give you mine first if that makes you feel more comfortable. But I want to hear what you got to say. I've been right and wrong in this stretch for the Gophers. So I'll let you go first, man. What do you see?
It's funny. We've both been right and wrong on that Penn State Iowa. And that, see, like, as a, like, if you're ever gambling out there, what's going on right now, don't, if it's going on with you in a game, don't even touch the game. You may not even want to watch the thing. Don't put money on it. You know what I mean? Because I'm over here thinking I'm going to jinx something that can't be jinxed. I cannot jinx. No, I could do something on the field, and I'm not doing that, government. I'm not doing that. I'm watching it at home. But seriously, like, I'm so torn. I'm just telling you, I literally want to pick against them because I picked against them for Penn State, and I picked them against for Iowa. And if I pick again, it has nothing to do with anything. But that's what I want to do. So this is the most worthless pick that I've ever made right now because I'm lost. I'm like a fanboy that's just like, no, man, we're going to the championship. Do you understand what Fleck's doing here? And, you know, we're going to be better than Bama. I'm just lost. So I'm going to have to stick to my script for no real reason except, you know, like I said, what's a jinx? You know, it's not happening. But unfortunately, just because I have to do this, I'm going to go 28-24, not being able to beat. See how negative I am? It's all negative. Oh, we can't beat the Badgers back-to-back years. This is what's going through my head. It's almost like the Vikings pick, but way more. Like, I want to be proved wrong. I want this so wrong, and I think it will. In fact, you know what?
There you go. Let's go.
No. What I'm going to do is put money on it in favor of the Gophers. So I'm going to pick 28. I'm going out like a little boy here. I'm sorry about this, but 28-24, the Badgers. But damn it, I said I'm not putting money on it. I'm going to put a little money on it just because. Usually it's the opposite. I'll pick the Gophers and put money on the opposite, you know, or the team that I'm stuck in. And then it'll be, well, I'm happy either way. I either won or I didn't, you know, great. I got money or my squad wins, you know, that type of thing. I'm going the opposite way. Why? I have no clue. It won't be a lot of money because obviously you can hear, oh, you know, I'm just not confident at all. But I'm saying 28-24. But I don't think that quarterback can beat us. I do not think that quarterback can beat us.
Okay, man, that was like pulling teeth. But you got it. You made it. You got the pick, 28-24 Wisconsin Badgers. I'm just going to confidently come out and just say, this is what I think. I was wrong with the Iowa pick. I was right with the Penn State pick. I think I'm due to be right again. Close game all the way through. Just biting your nails, edge of your seat, everything that you wanted from a college football game. Winding up at the end, Minnesota defeats Wisconsin 30-28 on a field goal. That's what I'm going with. I don't know how long that field goal is going to be.
Oh, hopefully not long.
Right. That's where the win comes in.
That's in the back of my head, damn it. Oh, God, I can't get over it. I don't know why. I have a problem.
And I think that by the time that ball's kicked off, your pick will change too. But for the show, we'll value your pick. I'm going 30-28, Wisconsin, however we get there. Win for Minnesota. See what comes next.
Now, it's funny because I do have a ton of confidence, but it's just too close to it. I'm too close to it. That's what it is. It's a personal thing. If I was looking afar from even Miami or some other squad that I've been paying attention to real tightly all year, I'd pick the Gophers. I really would. I'm going to put money on them. I promise you I'm going to. But I, for whatever reason, I can't It's superstition. I'm not a superstitious guy, but I am for this one. This will be the last year that I am this superstitious with the Gophers.
Okay. Let's quick. All right, so things go my way. We know what happens. We go on to the game and get a crack at Ohio State. And possibly the Rose Bowl, most likely the Rose Bowl. Now, things go your way. What does that road look like?
Well, it's a familiar road. We don't need a GPS. No, we don't even need the old school get it out and check out the map. No, we know this road. You know, it's still a, you know, that I go back before the Penn State game. I go back to the 2-2. Let's finish 2-2. Well, we're going to finish 2-2 at the minimum, right? We got 10 games. We got 10 wins, I should say. We got the big win in Penn State on a fairly, you know, high platform national level. I think we'd still go to a really solid bowl game. I think it'll be like maybe a notch up from what we did when we took on Missouri. We still could be a January 1st bowl. You know what I mean? I think we'll still be January 1st bowl. But, you know, with Penn State and Wisconsin, they draw better at right now. But we did, even in that Missouri game, you know, in that January bowl game, we actually drew a lot better than people were going to say. So, you know, I think we'll be good there. But I do think we'll go to just a solid-ass bowl game. I think it'll be really close to New Year's Day, if not New Year's Day, and it'll still be a damn good, you know, look. In the college game day, you're right, I don't watch it anymore. I used to way back in the day. But the recruits, you know, they know that what that means, why you're, you know, why you're there in town and stuff like that. So I think this is all just – this is all gravy right now, basically. Because it seems like we're ahead of schedule.
Yeah, I agree with that. It does seem like we're ahead of schedule. And then I just had that sneaking thought of pessimism that, you know, they gave us that one last year. They're going to get this one this year. I don't know, man. I'm sticking with my pick, but it's just like you said, it's just it's really close, man. And even Vegas has got it close. I mean, they got Wisconsin by 2.5. That's just a little bit above. Well, it's technically by 5 because home team gets 3, but yeah, I mean, they got it within touchdown. So,
yeah.
You know, I think it's just who can play well under the circumstances. And, you know, weather will probably be an issue. And who can, you know, just who wants it more? And you got to think the Gophers do. I just feel like that's it. Now, the surprising thing would be if the Gophers come out and rout. I mean, that would be just shocking. And the other shocking thing would be a meltdown by the Gophers in the Wisconsin routes, but I just don't see that happening. I think everything's kind of led here for both teams, and I think that this is going to be just a great game.
Yeah, man. And that would be crazy if we routed him. That'd be 2 years in a row. That'd be crazy. But, yeah, I agree. I think it'll be a very competitive game, and you know, this one is, as far as, you know, when we say for all the marbles, for us, this is all the marbles, dude. I understand nationally what that saying means, but, you know, a lot of people are going to know our research now because it's been broadcast last month of 1905 and all that stuff, you know.
Well, this is for all the marbles we've ever had, so, you know, that's
– yeah.
Whatever marbles those are, this is the first time we've had them, so I guess we better learn how to play them. That being said, they'll wrap up the Living in Loserville Purple People Leaders podcast. Anything for you to say towards the end here, Chris?
No, sir. I'm ready to wrap her up. Go ahead and wrap her down. Shut her down.
Yeah, all right. So thank you for listening, U.S., and we won't forget our people in Canada. We love you guys. It's always nice that you listen to us, and we will see you next week when it's all said and done.
Go Bikes, go Gophers. Peace.